Hey folks, Dr. Brian King here. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, Sarah and I were on the road and we were passing through Nashville, Tennessee, and we stumbled upon a massive Bloody Mary. And I was lucky enough to be able to score an interview with the man behind that Bloody Mary. His name is Austin Smith. All these years have passed and I'm not drinking as many Bloody Marys as I have been since we met Austin. This man's business has just boomed. He's expanded. He's got 5 locations all around Tennessee. And Sarah and I, being huge fans of Nashville Hot Chicken, figured it was about time we paid him another visit.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there, I'm
here. We are with Austin Smith, owner of Party Fowl.
How we doing, y'all?
Hey, yeah, this is Austin Smith. We're here at Party Fowl, and isn't it a wonderful name? That's probably part of the success, I would think, after this time, wouldn't you?
No question. I mean, the chicken's good, but damn, the name, it takes us a lot
further. What's in an egg? So how did you come up with that?
So, let's see, the unedited story. Back when, in 1999, I was playing high school ball my senior year, and my dad invited a bunch of the juniors and seniors over to the house. To indulge. I had never had a party before, a party for me. And one of the guys spit his beer up pretty quickly after putting it in his mouth. And I'll never forget, my dad yelled party foul. In 99, we had never heard this. Uh-huh. And so the rest of my senior year, people would be like, party foul. And that was sort of like a thing. Like they thought my dad was the funniest thing ever. And when we got to college, we had to come up with an intramural team name. And so we're like, what if we took party foul, changed the U to a W, and put a rooster on the front drinking a beer, or something that looks like a beer. And so we started a softball team in the year 2000 under the name Party Fowl. We actually still play together all these years later. I still play on Wednesdays and Thursday nights. We are restaurant league champions, if you want to take a pick of that little trophy up there. And so, you know, we had this name. So in 2006, I went to work at 360 Bistro. Well, at the time, it was called The Grape. It eventually changed to 360 with my now business partner, Nate Jacobson. He started playing on the ball team with me. And for like 7 years, we would kind of joke, wouldn't this be a great, you know, name for a chicken concept? Mm-hmm. And he didn't know how seriously I was taking it. I was over here like, all right. So when I was a liquor distributor with Athens Distributing here in town, I got to work with 125 different restaurateurs. I got to meet owners, I got to meet managers, I got to meet chefs. I got to see behind the curtain, see like what works, what doesn't work, and some of their successes and some of the things that were failures. And, you know, I was sort of, not knowing it, kind of putting together lists.
It looks like it, yeah. All of that is kind of like your research.
It was, and I didn't even know that that's what I wanted to do at the time. It just was happening. And after kind of joking for 7 years, I started to put together a concept, and one day Nick and I and his wife Ashley and my wife Amanda were watching a movie at his house. He and I drove to Chili's to pick up some curbside, and on the way there I looked at him and said, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to open Party Fowl. My wife has already said I could do it, so are you in? He's like, you got a business plan? I said, I got some, you know, we need to tweak it. So I went over the next day, we started working on the business plan, and within a couple days we were done, and we were off to the races with the first Party Fowl location. Which I actually stumbled across when I was driving around downtown.
It's a great location, yeah.
It wasn't.
Oh, no!
Everyone laughed at me when I showed them. You know, it had a gunshot hole in the window. It was half the size. I mean, it was over 100 years old. The roof included. The basement was still exposed rock. There were some folks living down there.
They were living in the restaurant building?
Yes. Yes, they were. When I went in with the realtor the first time, like, 2 people ran out the back door and it was pitch black in this basement, and I peed a little. You know what I mean? I was like, no. So I took it. I told everyone, this is my party foul. And they're like, you're an idiot. Like, there was nothing down there. There was no, I mean, there was just Frugal McDougal, which is a huge draw. But other than that, I mean, that side of the gulch had not developed. CarQuest was across the street from me, not a, you know, 23-story building. And, you know, the RJ Young buildings are now high-rises, and there's 2 more high-rises. And another, I mean, when we took this, we had no idea. It's the equivalent of buying a $1 scratch-off ticket and hitting the grand prize. Like, yeah. You know, I just looked at it as, when you're leaving Broadway, when you're leaving downtown, there are only a couple of corners left in walking distance.
Right.
And this was one. And so I jumped on it, and So look, people, you know, have said, man, you had such foresight, you're like a genius. I was like, no. Most people would not agree with you like 7 years ago. But we actually took that property in 2013, uh-huh. and we moved on from our first architect and builder, and we actually started over from scratch.
Oh, did you? Oh, wow. Yeah.
The same site, just you redeveloped.
Yes, we had started. We did demo. We had drawing sets, and we just weren't loving the direction, so we quit and started with a new team. And man, it took a little over a year to get to the finish line on that one. Actually, well, a year and a half. But in September of 2014, we opened the first one. So this, we're closing in on our 7-year anniversary of the company as a whole.
So we must have met you then pretty early on.
Yeah, it was longer than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I swear I was still the general manager of that store at the time, and I was the GM for the first 9 months. So that's when I brought Tiffany Thompson in as my GM, who is now the VP of this company, and she is. I tell everyone we're 1A, 1B. We're two-headed monster. If Tiffany says do something, do not call me and ask permission. Just keep it up.
Yeah.
Tiffany is a beast. She's just unbelievable. So, so the first 9 months was when I was a GM. Then even though I wasn't a GM anymore, I was still on site nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, you were there.
Y'all came at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I remember because it was one of the first videos we did. After we did the video with y'all, we filmed like 9 TV shows because of that Bloody Mary.
No way. Oh, wow.
We did Food Paradise. We did, what's the one, Jack?
It all started with us.
There you go. Oh, man.
So hire us for your next episode.
It was the launch point. I filmed with Shaquille O'Neal.
We did a show with Shaq. That's a cool opportunity.
Yeah. We just did one with Kane Brown and Guy Fieri. And what was that one that they did? Jack Maxwell is his name. It's such a cool name. It's a catchy name. And oh, well, you're going to have to cut it because I cannot remember.
Well, maybe we'll think of it later. You can tell.
Yeah. So good. Such a good show. Anyway, so we filmed like show after show, A&E.
That's
and,
awesome.
And all these things. And,
wow.
But y'all are my first time, I think, in front of the camera. So it was right out of the gate. I mean, it was the first few months we were working.
This was
probably fall of 2014, maybe spring of 2015.
Yeah.
I had to have been.
Yeah,
that sounds about right. Yeah, because it was when we just started touring together, which was 2015.
So. Okay, so it must have been that spring.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still going to fixate on the fact that we started you. We put you. So, like, when Guy Fieri was here, you were like, hey, Guy, you should get to know these people, Brian and Sarah.
No. Yeah.
So, and it wasn't, you know, the luck of, you know, the good place or the hard work or the years of research. It was just this great video.
Yeah, they saw the video.
You know what sucked? Like, I was so excited to film a guy, and he remoted in. It was one of those shows.
Meet through
somebody, but we did get to film with Kane Brown, and right before he did the, I guess, Country Music Awards, which just came up, or one of the big Country Music Awards, he was the host of. So that was fun.
Very cool.
He made a sandwich with us. It was pretty delightful.
So before you had this restaurant, did you have any experience with hot chicken? I know you worked at restaurants and things like that, but with hot chicken itself, did you have any direct experience with that?
Eating it. I had never worked in a hot chicken restaurant at all. Like I had eaten hot chicken. So my first piece of hot chicken ever was Bolton's. And I don't remember what age I was. I just remember that it was, when they said it was hot, I figured, okay, it's hot. Like,
sure.
It's spicy, sure. Like it'll be a little kick. I was not prepared mentally. I was in full sweat. And all I knew is I kept taking another bite.
Uh-huh.
And I did not know why I was doing this to myself, but I loved it. I loved the feel that I got off of it. You know, the little
right, jolt.
The endorphins were kicking. I was like, this is fun. I mean, I must have been 13, 14. I was at a friend's house. His parents had brought some home. And so that was my first one, was Bolton's. I tried Prentice's. Hattie B's was way later in the game, but they opened about a year before us. I tried Hattie B's. Pepper Fire was right in that time, so I had tried Pepper Fire, but it was Bolton's and Prince's, just like everyone else who does what I do now. We all started with Bolton's and Prince's. That was all there
was.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And trust me, if you've had a bite of either one of those or both of those, that's enough.
Yeah. And just for those people who might not know, like the whole hot chicken recipe was invented at Prince's, right? That's the story. Yes.
And Miss Andre still runs the show over there. It was her uncle, I believe, who was seeing a woman, and she thought he might have been running around. So when he came home one night, and he was known apparently as somebody who got around a little bit, so she took everything in the pantry that could try to kill a man. And she made this hot chicken. Well, she was trying to mess him up. Well, he loved it. And so not only did he love it, well, he started inviting folks over, and then they started their business. So, you know, she always says, don't forever forget hot chicken was created by a woman. So, you know, when I tell people, I'm like,
woman with a vengeance.
I was at a Southern Living event with her, and she told that story, and I was just dying. I was like, you know what?
I'd like to add, for me, I unfortunately have not had your hot chicken because I'm gluten-free, but it's not just hot. For those of you who don't like spicy, it's usually smoky, a little sweet. You got to get the spices in there too, right, to make it.
Now, some places are hot just for the sake of being hot.
Right.
You mentioned there's a bunch of places in Dallas that are popping up. I bet some of them have an authentic vibe, but I bet some of them are a one-note song, because I have tasted hot chicken outside of Nashville.
Right.
And most of the time, they're missing some components to get the hot chicken all the way there, or they didn't dip it correctly, their mud's not built properly. We like to build depth of flavor. We like to send you on a journey. I challenged Chef when we met. I said, I don't just want to be hot. I want people, even on our hottest levels, to taste the different profiles.
Right.
And, you know, Nashville hot chicken is cayenne. I mean, cayenne is
the
what
key,
makes
Nashville
hot chicken. We incorporated a few other peppers in small doses, mm-hmm. because each pepper will attack your palate in a different way. Much like wine, you know.
Sure.
I got that little root of my mouth, I got this other tongue, I got this in the back of the throat. The way that we built our poultry, guys, mm-hmm. our hottest chicken, it is a full assault of your mouth.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
You're going to have little things happening all over. And if you can get past how damn hot it is, there's some good stuff going on.
I believe it.
And so there's some depth of flavor. Our real heat seekers, the ones who don't even sweat when they eat it and eat the habanero off the top.
Sure.
You know, they're like, man, this is very flavorful. You can still go hotter though. I'm like,
that's the household I was raised in, by the way. Yeah. I had a boyfriend in high school, and I went over to his house, and they were Jamaican, and they made their jerk Jamaican, and they're like, are you okay? Are you sure?
I've had jerk before. That is real. I've had like Americanized jerk, and then you have real Jamaican jerk, and you're going, all right. Okay. This has been misinterpreted the whole time.
Well, that's cool though that you went and
Hey yo. Now we're back.
That's cool though that you went and made it even more full flavor, if you will, and try to get the different spice profile in there.
Like I said, you know, you can tell real Nashville hot chicken,
right.
And there are still some differences in between each of us. I mean, 400 degrees has an even crunchier crust. Like there's just something about theirs, and Prince's is just. I mean, they won't even let, if you walk in there right now and say, I want the extra hot, they're going to go, no.
You have to try this first.
Yeah, they will warn you, like, we just won't serve it to you. But, you know, everyone has, like, a little bit of a different nuance, but you can tell when the flavors are built properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's special when it is.
I noticed that in your listing of the different hot chicken joints, you haven't mentioned KFC's hot chicken.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Everyone, when KFC launched Nashville Hot Chicken, everyone said, are you upset that they're like just totally bastardizing? I said, they're not bastardizing it, they're preaching. They're telling everybody the authentic Nashville Hot Chicken, and they're going to go, oh, damn.
So
for me, thank you, KFC.
Yeah, it's a free advertisement for you to get the word out.
It's for all of us. You know, the thing is, there's a bunch of us who do Nashville Hot Chicken here in town, and we're all very friendly. So for me, it's we're kind of doing it as a whole.
We each have
our different personality, but we all know where it came from, and
this is our interpretation.
Not too many more. You know, let's cut it off. No more Nashville Hot Chicken. That was enough.
And you mentioned Hattie B's. Everybody knows that, a lot of people are aware that Hattie B's is spreading across the country.
Oh, yeah.
They're opening up in in Texas soon. They've got, I think, Vegas. They've got a couple other cities, Atlanta. Now, you have spread around in the Tennessee region, but do you have any plans on the forefront to move further?
So I just opened my first one outside of Middle Tennessee. So we actually went to Chattanooga, and we opened up there in April during the pandemic because I'm a crazy human being. My team will tell you that I'm a lunatic on my best day. So we absolutely do have plans to move outside the state lines. We can't announce anything yet, but I will tell you that there's some exciting news coming probably in the next 30 to 60 days. And it's not just a little bit outside of the state lines of Tennessee, and there are waves and sea creatures. How about that?
Ooh, I love that.
How about that?
I like those places.
You know, if I'm gonna go spend all this time opening a new store, and I got 3 kids, 9 and under, and my wife, you know, they gotta be somewhere where they're gonna enjoy themselves.
Yes.
So I'm being very selective about the places that might fit a party foul. It also has to fit a Smith family of 5 and my team. So we're going to be very, very selective. But yes, we have some plans on the horizon.
That's awesome.
Very cool. I have my own opinion of what makes your place so interesting. Yeah. There's a lot about your menu that I really like. But in your mind, like, how are you different, and what's your maybe competitive edge over some of the other hot chicken joints?
So, it's really simple. The reason that I created this brand was because there was a lack of development for the Nashville hot chicken concept. There was not a Nashville hot chicken concept that was full service. Mm-hmm. There was not a Nashville hot chicken concept that had a liquor license. There was not a Nashville hot chicken concept that had enough TVs to watch a ball game. The food that Nashville was becoming known for, there wasn't a full-fledged, you know, full circle concept that brought all of what Nashville loves to do under one roof. And that's where I jumped in. I came out of the wine and spirit world, but I had also been in the food industry, in front of house, back of house, since I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the best of both sides, and I went, okay, Nashville Hot Chicken is definitely on the upswing. I love Nashville Hot Chicken. I want to do other things with it, and I want to show it in different ways. And I want to add a full bar program. I want people to go watch a ball game. I want live music. You know, I want to do all the fun things. And so we started off with that. And it truly does set us apart. I mean, we take Nashville Hot Chicken and put it on 37 different items in different ways.
Right, yeah.
And then it's the environment in which you're eating. You know, I tell my team, you know, when someone comes in, they have to feel like family. You're having a house party. These are your guests. Everything has to be perfect. And are we always perfect at nailing that? Absolutely not. But, you know, we have 400 employees now, and we strive for it. You know, I still visit every location. My corporate team visits every location. We know everyone by name. Like, it is truly our family. That's the rule number one of Party Foul. Rule number one is we're family. Rule number two, don't poison the well. There's no rule about chicken. There's no rule about boozy slushies.
It's like
we can serve good food. You
right.
Know, it's, if you ask what makes us different, we are truly a family. People who leave us because they get offered more money and things like that, I'm telling you, 75-80% of the time, they come back and they go, nope, I'd rather be with y'all.
It's like you run your business like Dom runs the Fast and Furious group.
That's right. Yeah, I feel that, yeah. Thicker than water, you know, we got it. We truly are, and we take that seriously. You know, when the pandemic happened, you know, we had just opened Cool Springs, mm-hmm. and so that store, I was like, you know what, let's just shut it back down for a while, let's use those managers, and let's bolster the rest of the stores, because we could only do delivery and takeout. And we didn't have a lot of hourly positions left mm-hmm. during that time, so most of our hourly people, they went on unemployment. And you know, we wanted to do something special for them, something to take a little bit of more mm-hmm. stress off. So we started building family meals and doing mm-hmm. 2 family meals per day for everyone in your household, whether you live by yourself or if you had 6-8 people
uh-huh.
in. And they would call us in and say, I got this many folks. We'd make 2 meals for every single person who works mm-hmm. in our business. And so I was like, well, they got the unemployment money. If we can take some food off their plate,
right, yeah.
it's just going to make it less stressful until we can get past this hump.
Absolutely.
That because of that, you know, we came out of this this pandemic. I mean, we probably had 97% of our people back.
That's awesome.
Everyone knows how much of a struggle it is to staff a team.
Right.
We're still short staffed, not because we didn't get everyone back, but because business has come back
so good
for everyone. Yep. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I think everyone will tell you, God, if I just had some more people, because folks have started coming out of the woodworks more than they ever were. And we're all short-staffed, and we're all getting our asses absolutely kicked. my salary people are all in hourly positions almost every shift. You know, catch me down there too sometime, I'm telling you. So, you know, that's just where we are right now.
Right.
You know, we were able to keep our family together, and so we're still in pretty good shape.
That's good. Right, so. It's good to be stressed in that way.
Yes. I told him, I said, we could be stressed because no one came back out.
Right.
You know, one star Yelp. Service was slow. Yes, ma'am, we had three people in the kitchen. I'm so sorry.
We were really trying, man. Yeah,
they called two called out. I have no backup. I mean, anyone who sees this video who works in a restaurant is going to go, yup. You know, it's like, it's just the way the world
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of friends, different businesses, including like oil change and things. And like, we can't find enough good staff.
No, we can't. Everyone moved to Florida, man. They're at the beach, chilling. I feel like four or five people that were like, I'm going to quit my job and just move to the beach. Like, if you're ever going to do it.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Now is the time.
A little support to do it, to get
yeah,
there.
And... yeah.
So, it's like half the city. Half the city in New York followed that advice.
That's true. Yep. And Nashville too. They love Nashville now. Yeah.
So you sound like you do a lot of community outreach things. What do you do?
So I serve on a few boards. Mm-hmm. I'm on the board of directors for the Donaldson Hermitage Chamber of Commerce, which is where this mm-hmm. location is, and I'm the events chair for that. So we're about to host our fourth or fifth event this year. It's big deal. It's our Taste of Donaldson Hermitage. We have 40 vendors there. I've got the Titans mascot and the Preds mascot and some celebrity judges out there.
Fun.
It's going to be quite a shindig at the Opera Mills Mall. I work with my alma mater, my high school, on their alumni board. I work on my university that I graduated from. I work on their College of Arts and Entertainment board and Volunteers of America and Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
So you're busy. Besides business, you're busy.
You know, I never in my life imagined I'd be in the position I'm in. So, you know, I always told God, I'm going to give back, you know, in
That's
some
awesome.
Way. And I think I overextend myself sometimes. My kids would probably tell you I need to chill it out so I can come home and play Mario. But, you know, I do my best to try to balance the two and or the five or the six or the ten or whatever.
Well, you know, they say that when people have success, they just become more of themselves, so.
Ah, that's nice. I mean, I heard that. That's fun. So, yeah, I try to stay involved and try to help as much as I can. We're getting to the point where we're getting so busy that I probably won't be able to do as much, but, you know, because we're hitting the gas pedal a little bit right now.
Well, that's exciting, as long as you keep it in balance.
That's right. I just got to keep my balance. Like I told my business partner, if it ever becomes where I can't be a daddy and a husband, I'm going to pump the brakes.
Right.
As long as I can keep up with that portion, uh-huh. the rest of it will take care of
that's
itself.
Good.
So
good.
That's my number one priority.
Awesome. Way, so. Well, we know how that goes.
Yes.
Do you think of anything else you want to add that we haven't covered?
We are really fun, and I can say this one, we are opening in the new terminal at the B&A Airport next month. We're full service party foul, real deal. We're not skipping any steps over there.
Better get a lot of stuff in there so people get their flights on time.
We're already training like 18 people, and I need like 40 more. But yeah, the management team is really tight. The supervisors are really tight. Like, I'm really enjoying working with them. And I told them immediately, I said, it doesn't matter who writes your paycheck over at that airport. You're part of this family. I'm going to be the one you call when something goes wrong.
Uh-huh.
So they train in here with me, and they're becoming part of us.
Oh,
and so
that's
they're realizing how different it is. They will not be robotic people working in our airport location.
Uh-huh.
They will be party foul team
that's
members
great.
And party foul family.
Right.
So we got that one coming. And then there's another local happening, but I can't tell you that one yet either. But there's another local thing happening that's going to be really big where we're going to have two units. So as soon as I can, I'll share with you.
Cool.
Not today. Super tease. Super tease.
We'll just have to come back in five years and do another video.
That's it.
Speaking of seeing you 5 years ago, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but you work in an industry, you make a living in an industry where you prepare food that's not exactly for the health conscious, or at least for the people who are trying to lose weight. In fact, last time we saw you, you're a little bit bigger than you are right now.
Yeah.
You know, I was a little bit bigger last time we saw each other, and now you've trimmed down. How'd you do all that?
I am proud to talk about that.
All right, excellent.
So no, about a year ago, I was at 366 pounds. And I would get winded walking up my own stairs. Like I told you, I still play softball. I tore my calf muscles 3 years in a row, running bases, just because my body was too big and it was not keeping up.
Yeah, I feel like the third time was slipping
on
a ball.
Oh, well, no, that's when I hurt my ankle, but I actually tore the calf. She's on me. She's on me.
it's the kids that keep you alive.
Anyway, I was 366 pounds, completely out of shape. And I was worried that I wasn't gonna live long enough to see my kids grow up, honestly. And I've got Party Foul here, and I've got a huge family that I'm responsible to here as well. And so when the pandemic hit, I said, I've never had this much time because we were so slow. And I said, I'm gonna do it right now. I'm gonna get with a trainer and I'm gonna change everything. I stopped drinking for 8 months just to give it a jump start and started eating macros. I started it 4 days a week, lifting for an hour, doing my HIIT, high intensity training, and then doing 40 minutes of cardio. As I started to see the results, and I started to get everything kind of curtailed and get into a rhythm, I was like, hey coach, I want to add a fifth day. And then I started doing 60 minutes of cardio per day. And my first goal, I started on July 13th of last year, my first goal was to get 67 pounds down and be under 300 pounds for the first time in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so I got within like 3 pounds the day before New Year's Eve, and so I fasted. And I'll never forget, it was like 7 p.m. on New Year's Eve, I stepped on the scale and I was 298.9, and man, I teared up, I was screaming. I called my Chinese restaurant, I ordered some Chinese food, I ate those Christmas cookies my mom had stashed away from me, I drank some red wine, I had some bourbon, I was like, give me all of the things. And so I had them all. After I hit the goal, took the pictures, made the post on social, and then the next day, back on the grind. I told my trainer, I was like, I got it out of my system. I'm ready to go for the next one. The next one was to lose 100 pounds in the first year, so by July 13th. Well, I only hit 97 pounds. But like he said, you've also probably put on 25 pounds of muscle. So
right?
Really, you lost like 120
pounds. Yeah, it balances,
You know, so, you know, so I think we did good there. And the next goal is I turn 40 on March 10th, and I want to be under 20% body fat.
Wow, good for you.
Look better than I did when I was in college.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. It's a kick in the ass. It is not every day you wake up and you're just in that zone. You have to put yourself there. As you know, you've been through a journey too. You have to be like, okay, this is one of my off days. I've got to stay in my lane.
Right.
And, but after you get done with what you got to do and you've made the right decisions all day, you can check that day off and go one day.
But as a I've had my own weight loss journey over the past year. I've lost about 100 pounds. I still got a ways to go, but I also don't own a fried chicken restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how
with
do you?
Bar.
Yeah. How do you manage that and still keep on those goals?
So our smoked beer butt chicken is phenomenal. Now it's sacrilegious, but I actually pull the skin off because there's too much fat in the skin. But I eat our smoked beer butt chicken a lot. The brick tattoo chicken, which has the sage and goat cheese under the skin. Goat cheese is lower in fat than most cheeses, and it's delicious. I eat that dish with sauteed spinach and potatoes and bell peppers and onions. I do the tacos grilled, you know, 2 corn tortillas grilled tender. Yeah, I've found my ways around still getting to have my flavors and eat what I like, but doing it in a way that fits my numbers.
Right.
The biggest trick is that everyone in the world who is a vendor comes in here to pour bourbon in my glass, beer in my cup, and they're like, hey, you want to try it? You want to try it? I'm like, yeah. No. It's the worst thing ever because I love my libations. I love my adult beverages. And that one I have to watch because if the liver's busy taking care of your booze, you know, it's not processing the food and you just gain everything. Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you were to travel the country drinking Bloody Marys and wrote a Bloody Mary book and get invited to judge Bloody Mary festivals. I know that pain for sure.
Yep. When it's processing that 55-ounce Bloody Mary you had, your food's just getting absorbed everywhere and you're not going to lose a thing. And then the water weight hits and you're just really depressed. you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, no, it's been a battle, but I've learned so much about me and I've learned so much about my body. And I've seen the changes so much. I know the smallest little thing, you know, can make a change in that day, and just changes how you think. You know,
it does,
so I still eat Party Foul all the time, and every once in a while, I sneak a little hot chicken too.
Balance again, yeah. Right?
And you can get a grilled chicken dipped in that.
I did get the grilled chicken the other night. It was delicious.
You can dip it in that.
I did. Buffalo.
You can actually do the full Nashville hot.
Oh, remember
too.
That
so you
next
can get
time.
Your flavor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues.